Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nivamos Daf Samach Dalet. We're going to begin at the Mishnah about 10 lines or so down. Samach Dalet of Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Pauline Silber Peril Bas Matis Yahu. And also Monday, May 2nd, was the yahrzeit of Jerry Pinsky. Jerry was a longtime member of the shul, and we learned Le'ilu Nishmaso. We also learned yesterday Le'ilu Nishmas all of those warriors of Tzahal that died al Kiddush Hashem, protecting Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Medinas Yisrael. And today is Yom Ha'atzmaut. Well, I'm dictating this shir, and we're learning for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to protect Tzahal and to protect all the members of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world from terrorist attacks. So we begin with the Mishnah, Samach Dalet Omer Aleph, about 10 or so lines down. The Mishnah says, Nosa Isha, if a man lives with a woman, Vishah Imo Esashonim, and he lives with her for 10 years, and unfortunately, Velo Yolda, they did not have children during this 10-year period of time, so Eino Rashoy Levatel, if this person has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah Rivya, which we discussed previously, the different shittos of what it means to, quote, have fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah Rivya. Again, we brought down Yeshua Shita that one should try to have children early in life, late in life as well. One should always try to have children if possible, but if a person has lived with a woman for 10 years and has not had children, but he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah Rivya, then he doesn't have to go and divorce her. However, he is not Eino Rashoy Levatel if he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah Rivya, so therefore, in this situation, he must either divorce her and take another wife, or he's allowed to go and take another wife. We'll discuss more of that. This is obviously prior to the decree of Rabbeinu Gershom, Ma'or Hagola, over 1,000 years ago, where the popular custom amongst Ashkenazic Jewry was to not take a second wife at the same time. Rachman al-Tzlan, if a person's wife dies or is divorced, of course, everybody always agrees you can marry again, you should marry again, but the din, technically, min ha-Torah, is that you're allowed to have more than one wife at the same time, but the common custom amongst Ashkenazic Jewry has been to adhere to that decree of Rabbeinu Gershom Me'or HaGola. In Sephardic communities, that was never accepted, and therefore in Sephardic communities, there still is the potential today even to have more than one wife, albeit it's extremely rare for that to occur. In any event, our Mishnah tells us that Eino Rashoy Levatel, you're not allowed to go and give up the mitzvah of Periyah V'Rivya in this situation. We'll see that's in theory, Lemaisa. We do not force a person to divorce his wife, and we do allow them to continue without having children, even if that is going to not allow them to fulfill the mitzvah of Periyah Rivya in the fullest sense. But today, Lemaisa, we don't divorce or force people to divorce a wife after not having children after 10 years. The Mishnah continues and says, Girsha, if he did divorce this woman, so now she is muteretz l'nosiliyachah. She can go and marry another person who has not had children. One might have thought, well, she's already at risk for not being able to have children, so she shouldn't marry another person who has of yet not fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah V'Rivya. So the Mishnah tells us, no, muteretz l'nosiliyachah. She can go and marry another person, even though that person has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Periyah V'Rivya. And Rashoy Hasheni Lishos Imo Eseshonim. We don't say, well, if you don't get pregnant after a year or two, Mestama, it's this lady's fault. No, we say, no, she's allowed to even live with a second husband who hasn't yet been Makayim the Mitzvah Periyah V'Rivya for the full 10-year period of time as well. We'll see the Gemara where we get this 10 years from. And only at the end of that 10-year period of time would the same rules apply to her second husband who hasn't yet been Makayim the Mitzvah Periyah V'Rivya. Either you have to divorce her or you should go and take a second wife. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and tells us, Vim Hipila, if during this period of 10 years of time she did have a miscarriage, so then you start the clock again. Mone Mishah Shehipila. So the 10 years starts again. So if she had a miscarriage after 5 years, so then that would restart the clock, and they could live together for 15 years without having children before this, then the Mishnah, at least in theory, would apply. Gemara starts off and says, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, Nosa Isha Vishoyimo Esashonim. If a man married a woman and lived together for 10 years, but they didn't have children, and this man never had children beforehand, so he's not Makayim the Mitzvah Periyah V'Rivya, the Lo Yolda, if during this period of time she hasn't given birth, Yotzi V'Yiteg Suba, he has to go and divorce her. Again, he could marry somebody else, and that wouldn't require him to divorce her, but here they're talking about a situation where he's not going to be able to support two wives, so therefore he has to go and divorce her, but he must give her a ksuba. He can't say it's your fault that we're getting divorced, and therefore you have caused me not to be able to stay married to you, and therefore you lose your ksuba. No, she's entitled to her ksuba. Why? Because Shema lo zocha libanos mimena. Because maybe it's only in his zechus that they didn't have children. So to say, he didn't have enough zechusim to have children. It's not her problem, it's his problem. And the Gemara will later explain, why not say that it's his her problem and not his problem, and that hamos mi'chavero all of haraya, so then she should have to prove that it's not her problem before she should collect her ksuba. So the Gemara is going to tell us, and we'll have this in the upcoming Mishnah, there is the famous opinion of the Chachamim, which is how we paskin, that women are not obligated in the midst of Peri V'Rivia. While we'll have Rabbi Yochanan Bebroke, who says that they are, that's a minority opinion, not the way we paskin, and therefore, technically, women are not obligated in the midst of Peri V'Rivia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a tremendous maternal desire, so they do want to have children, but technically, they're not obligated. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them children, it can't be the fact that she didn't have the Zchusim. It must be that he doesn't have the schusim because he's the one that's obligated in the midst of Peri V'Rivia. That's what Gemara says, Shema lo zocha libanos mimena. It's his problem. He wasn't zocha to have children with her. But you can't say that it's her problem. So alpha pishein ra'ayla dover, and even though we don't have a clear-cut raya from the Torah for this 10-year period of time, we have zech l'dover. We have an allusion to this, and a smach to this, from, of course, the famous story of Avram and Sarah. At that point, she's called Sarai. And Miketz Esa Shanim L'Sheves Avram. Avram is called Avram at that point in time. So Miketz Esa Shanim L'Sheves Avram B'Eretz Kinoan. Avram had moved to Eretz Yisrael with Sarai. And at this point, after living there for 10 years, they didn't have children. So the fact that it mentions that this seemingly unimportant fact that after 10 years of living in Eretz Yisrael, only then did he take Hagar to be his wife. So in that situation, we see that there's a significance in this 10-year period of time. After 10 years of not having children in Eretz Yisrael, so then he felt that it was necessary for him to try to be Mekayim in the midst of Peri V'Rivia with someone else, and he took Hagar as a wife. Now, note that this is talking about that you didn't count the years that they were not living in Eretz Yisrael as going towards this 10-year period of time. And this is an interesting discussion amongst the poskim. Would this, in theory, even apply nowadays that you only count the time living in Eretz Yisrael towards the 10 years of Shah, Imah, Esa Shanim V'lo Yolda, or is it applying even in Chutz La'aretz? And anyway, the Gemara says, we learn from over here, L'lamedcha she'ein yeshiva chutz l'aretz olo ben aminyan. Here, clearly, by Avram Avinu, we see that the 10 years only counts in Eretz Yisrael, but didn't count all the time that they lived in chutz l'aretz. L'fikach, furthermore, cholahu, therefore we see that if he got sick, or she'chol sehi, or that she was sick, or oshteim chavushim, or both of them were captured and held in prison, v'veisu asurim, in all of these scenarios where they didn't have the full 10-year period of time of living together in Eretz Yisrael and not have children during that 10-year period of time, there were circumstances over here that didn't allow them to count towards the 10-year period of time. So, ain't no l'lomen aminyan. They don't count towards the 10-year period of time. Interestingly, by the way, the Ritva says that even if you have the opinion that the 10 years count, even in Chutz La'aretz, towards 10 years living together without children, he says if they move to Eretz Yisrael, then you start the clock anew. Because, he says, the Zchus of living in Eretz Yisrael allows you now to start the clock anew, that maybe in your Zchus of you moving to Eretz Yisrael, so maybe you'll have children, so you can't say that they're Shah together for more than 10 years. Okay. Nadimor says, I'm only Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Yisrael Rav Nachman, the Lay left me Yitzchak. Why do we learn from Avram and Sarah? From Avram and Sarai, the 10 years. Why don't we learn from Yitzchak? We know that Yitzchak took Rivka as a 3-year-old girl, and then Yitzchak was 40 years old, and only at the age of 60 did they daven, Yitzchak and Rivka daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for children, as stated in the Chumash, and they were answered, and they had, of course, Yaakov and Esav at that time. So why don't we learn the 20 years that they were living together from the time that Yitzchak was 40 till 60 is 20 years. Why don't we say that you lived together for 20 years, and only then do you have to go and get a new wife, get a second wife. So, Amalei Ravler of Nachman, why don't we learn this out from Yitzchak? So, the Pasuk says, D'chsiv, he Yitzchak in Arbim Shana, b'kachdu es Rivka, v'gomer, u'chsiv, Yitzchak in Shishim Shana, b'levitz osam. So, we know that Yitzchak married Rivka when he was 40, and now that they're 60, so that's 20 years. So, let's learn out, not 10 years, but 20 years. So, Rav Nachman says back to Rav, Amalei, Yitzchak akur haya. No, this case was the exception that proves the rule. Yitzchak was physically incapable of having children. He was awkward, and therefore he knew that he was the problem. So marrying another woman, he could marry 20 other women, he's not going to have children if he's the problem. If he's infertile, so then the problem is with him. So therefore you can't learn anything else out from the 20 years that they lived together. Interestingly, there is a medrash that the Gemara doesn't quote. There is a medrash that says that since Yitzchak married Rivka when she was 3. She wasn't capable of giving birth to a child for the first 10 years or so of their marriage. And therefore, they really did start the clock for 10 years from the time that she was roughly 12, 13, and then until the time that's 10 years later. That's when they davened because they were incapable of having children. So there is an idea that even from Yitzchak, it's really 10 years, but the Gemara doesn't discuss that. Okay. The Gemara says, if you're telling me that Yitzchak was awkward and you can't learn anything out from Yitzchak, he's the exception that proves the rule, so then you have the same thing by Avram Avinu. Avram Nahami Yakur Haya. We'll see that both Avram and Sarah were incapable of having children. So here the Gemara tells us that Avram couldn't have children, so then why are you saying that he had to start a 10-year wait, and then in Eretz Yisrael he was allowed to marry Hagar, he went to go marry Hagar. Avram was awkward also, so he's an exception that proves the rule, so why do we learn out anything from Avram? So the Gemara is going to tell us, first they're going to explain the 20 years of Yitzchak, but they can say the 10 years of Avram was totally unnecessary. It was totally extraneous to the flow of the Gemara. And therefore, it's obviously teaching us that it was only after 10 years of living in Eretz Yisrael that he didn't have children. That's when he took Hagar. But by Yitzchak, the dates and times there were all essential to the story and therefore can't be used to deduce 20 years versus 10 years. And that's what the Gemara says. How that by telling us that Yitzchak was 40 when he married Rivka and then he was 60 when he had children, so that 20-year period of waiting, so that was essential for the overall timing of the Avos. And that's what Ruchi Bar Abba said, because the Amar Ruchi Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ruchi Bar Abba said his name, Rav Yochanan, Lama Nimnu Shnos of Shal Yishmael. When Yishmael dies, it tells us his life, it tells us how many years that he lived, and he lived 137 years, and why do we need to know that? So the Gemara says we needed to know that Kedei Liyaches Ben Shnos of Shal Yaakov. We needed this to use that as a measure for Yaakov's life, because Yaakov, we needed to calculate, wasn't punished for not doing the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em while he was learning in Yeshiva Shem Va'Eber for 14 years. And we needed to know this. He was punished. He had not done the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em for the 22 years that he was with Lavan in Paddan Aram, and therefore he was held accountable for that. And therefore he lost Yosef for 22 years. Yosef wasn't able to be with him to do the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em. So it was Mida Keneged Mida. But he was away from Yitzchak and Rivka for more than 22 years. He was actually away from them for 36 years. But the 14 years that he spent learning in Shiva Sheva Eber, he wasn't held accountable because Talmud Torah is a reason or a quote, an acceptable reason for a person who is incapable of doing the mitzvah Kibbutz because he's far away learning in Eretz Yisrael. You can't be by your parents living in New York. So therefore that child, well, not totally exempt today with technology, but they are extend certainly. They can't go get their father, the mother, a glass of coffee. They can't go and do shopping for them. They can't do other things of Kibbutz Ova Aim they would be able to do if they lived nearby. But if they're learning in the yeshiva, as was Yaakov in Yeshiva Sheva Eber for 40 years, you're not held responsible for not doing the mitzvah Kibbutz Ova Aim during that period of time, because Talmud Torah is even doche the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ova Aim under certain situations. So therefore, that's why Kedei Liyachis Ben Shnosos Yaakov, this important detail was needed. Now, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak says, Yitzchak Avinu Akar, how do we know that Yitzchak Avinu was in fact incapable of having children? So the pasuk says, Shenamar, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. So it says, Yitzchak was Lenochach Ishto, and it says that she also was incapable of having children. The pasuk says, Ki Akara he, that she was an Akara. And then it says, Vayosel lo Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishto. So it says, he went to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Ishto, lo ne'amar. It doesn't say that he went to daven on behalf of his wife, Ela Lenochach. He says, opposite his wife. She was Akara he, and therefore this usage of the Loshel Lenochach Ishto is Malami Shishneim Akurim Hayu. While the pasuk only mentions that Rivka was an Akara, the fact is, indeed, that Yitzchak was an Akar as well. Gemara says, Ihachi, so then it should have said, Vayyaser lo, it should have said, Vayyaser lohen boile. He should have davened for both of them, so to say, and not only davened for himself. If, in fact, Yitzchak was davening on both of their behalves, that both were Akara, so then it should have said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer just him, should have answered both of them. Vayyaser lohen boile. So the Gemara teaches us another interesting idea. Lefish eino doma tefilas tzadik bin tzadik, letefilas tzadik bin rosha. As great as Rivka was, she had in her background, unfortunately, Lavan, and that held her tefilas back to a certain extent. In other situations, we say that a person who's about tshuva, where he stands or she stands is a place where even the greatest tzaddik can't stand. But when it comes to the zechusim of this tefillah, so the fact that Yitzchak was ben Avraham, that carried a tremendous amount of weight, as opposed to Yitzchak, who was ben Lavan, Bas Lavan, so that carried zero weight and was a demerit, actually. And therefore, ultimately, the tefillahs were answered by Yosef Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Yitzchak's tefillah and not Rivka's tefillah in this situation. And now we ask the question that most of you were probably thinking yourselves, and this is throughout Tanakh. Amar Rav Yitzchak, mipnei mahayu avoseinu akurim. Why were so many of the forefathers incapable of having children? Right, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, and we all know, on Rosh Hashanah, we specifically talk about great women that were incapable of having children that were answered, and we read Haftorahs about these great women, as we'll see in the Gemara. So Rav Yitzchak asked the obvious question. I'm Rav Yitzchak, Mipnei Mahayu Avoseinu Akurim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that so many of our forefathers and foremothers were in fact incapable of having children? And the answer is, and it can't be understood on a simplistic basis, is a deep concept. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote, desires, he wants the tefillos of tzaddikim. Now, we have to always remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the Yud Gimel Midos of the Rambam, the Ikarim of the Rambam, is that there is no such concept of emotion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no such human imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu needing something. That's made for us to have an inkling as to what's going on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our tefillos. A person's hungry, he needs to eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our tefillos. He will be absolutely unchanged whether we daven to him or not. It is zero impact, so to say, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the same time, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefillos. Mis'adal tefillos ha-shatzita, not from his point of view, but because it makes us better people. When we dive into Hashem, when we realize everything is Hashem's hands, that improves us. And one of the purposes of our existence on this world is to go and improve ourselves. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous of the tefillah of tzaddikim, because that makes them into even greater people. Amar Rav Yitzchak says another thing. Why were the tefillos of Yitzchak and Rivka, and in other places as well, referred to as vayasurlo, as like a pitchfork? A eser is like a object that turns the grain from one place to another, the stalks from one place to another. So ma eser zedik, where it says mahavi katua mimokum mokum, just like you use a pitchfork to go and remove the grain from one place to another place, so too kach tefiloshim so tzadikim, so too the tefilos of great tzadikim. And even regular people, ma'afekes midoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimidas ragzonos lemidas rachmonos. It goes and makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, switches his personality, his persona. Again, not a concept that physically we can in any way associate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu go from the midas hadin to the midas rachmim. He goes from the chair of din to the chair of rachmim. Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up from one throne and moves to another throne. It's a beautiful understanding of the Musaf Shabbos Kedusha, where we say, Mimakomo, who yithen berachamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves with rachamim from his place. He moves from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim. And part of the reason why this occurs is because of the tefillos of people, especially the tefillos of tzaddikim. This switches the attribute, so to say, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Midas Din to the Midas Rachamim. Amar Ravami, Ravami adds and he says, Avraham v'Sara tumtumim hayu. Avraham and Sara both have the status of a tumtum. A tumtum is a person whose genitalia is obscured. It is, there's a membrane of some sort covering up the genitalia, and you don't know whether they're a male or a female. Androgynous has simone zachor, simone nakus, has both genitalia. An unclear genitalia for a different reason. A tumtum has some sort of a sheath or a membrane covering the genitalia, and even if you were to cut this sheath, it's not clear whether this is dealing with a man or a woman. Androgynous and tumtum have different halachic status, and androgynous, according to some, is a birya b'fnei atzmo. And one androgynous could be motzi another androgynous. If they're male halachically, so they're both male. If they're female halachically, then they're both female halachically. If they're separate birya, they're both a separate birya. Whereas a tumtum, not all tumtums are the same. Some tumtums are halachically a man, and some tumtums are halachically a woman. Now, we don't know, so often it's a suffix situation, but the din of a tumtum is different than the din of an androgynous. In any event, the Gemara tells us, Rav Ami says, that Avram and Sarah both had the status of being a tumtum. And how do we know this? Shenemar, we bring down a pasuk from Yeshaya, where it says, Habitu el tzur, look to the tzur is a rock. We turn to Samach Dalet Omud Beis, and the pasuk says, the lashon of chutzavtem, from which you were chiseled out. Vel makeves bor, and look at the bottom of a pit, that was nukartem, from which you were dug out. So we have these two lashonos of chutzavtem and nukartem, and that is one reference to Avram and one a reference to Sarah. Uksiv habitu el Avram avichem v'el Sarah techol elchem. So the juxtaposition of these two psukim, first one dealing with chutzavtem and nukartem, so you had to create, so to say, something that was chiseled out, that was hollowed out from something previously not there. So, and that's the similar situation. Avram and Sarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to allow them to have children, have to, so to say, hollow out, make them now capable of having children. They weren't previously able to do so. As Rashi says, chutzatem, that Avram Avinu was now made into a man, Zachrus, and Sarah Imenu, so Nasalo Nakvus, so she now was capable of having children. She was, so to say, given a womb at this point in time. Similarly, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua, Rav Nachman said, name of Rabba Ravua, Sarah Imenu, islandess Haisa. The Sarah Imenu had the status of being an islandess. An islandess is a woman who's physically incapable of having children. How do we know this? Shenemar, Bati Sarah Akara. The Pasuk says that Sarah was an Akara, and then it tells us, a love lot, she didn't have children. Duh, if she's an Akara, of course she can't have children. Ella teaches us, Afilu, base flat, even a rechem, a uterus, ain't law. She didn't even have a uterus. That's what it means that she was an Akara, ain't law vlad. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the fantastic miracle that both Avram and Sarah were now capable of having children, and the rest, as they say, is history. Rav Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei d'Rav. Rav Yehuda, who was the son of Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, said over the name of Rav, Lo shanu ela bedoros harishanim sheshno seyem merubos. This 10-year period of time was only for the previous generations who lived much longer lives than we do. We say that yimei sheshno seyem shivim shana, maybe begrua shmonim shana, and we say a person lives ad mea v'yesim shana, right? Amush, ad mea v'yesim shana. In those days, people lived hundreds and hundreds of years, even Avram and Sarah lived longer periods of time than the typical people live. Avram died at 175 years of age. He was supposed to live to be 180. He died early because of Esav HaRasha. So their lives are much longer. So they had to wait 10 years till you're Makai in the midst of Prairie River. Not such a big deal because it's a smaller fraction of your procreative lifetime. So Avol Bedoros V'Achronim, but in the later generations, meaning nowadays, Sheshnosei Muatos, where people live a much shorter period of time, as I just said, 120, Ad Me'ev Yesim, and Shivim Shana, like we say in Tehillim, so Shtei Shanu Mechza. So therefore, the appropriate amount of time to wait without children is 2.5 years. And where do they get this number from? Kineged Shlosha Iburim. The amount of time that will take you to have 3 pregnancies, and plus a little bit of extra time, as Rashi brings down. So the pregnancy is 9 months, so that would be 3 times 9 would be 27 months, and you have 1 month before each pregnancy that you have to wait till the woman is at a point in her cycle where she would be capable of getting pregnant. So it's 10 months for each pregnancy that we're given, 9 for the pregnancy and 1 month beforehand. So it would be 10 times 3, it's 30 months, which is, of course, 2.5 years, 24 months in a year. So 2.5 years, another 6 months, that is the amount of time. Shtei shanim u'mechza. That's the first opinion that's brought down. Rabbi said, Rav Nachman, Shalosh Shana, we give a full 3 years. Why? Keneged Shalosh Pikidos. That's Keneged, the 3 remindings that we have over here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening to the tefillahs of women that were unable to have children. Damamar, Berosh Hashanah, as I pointed out before, on Rosh Hashanah, Nifkidu, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, remembered these 3 great women, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana, and gave them children. So therefore, we give the 3-year period of time, Keneged, this 3 remembers the Shalosh Pekidos. Rabbi adds further, Les Nulani Kloli. He says, no, this is incorrect. I disagree with everything that was said over here. Rabbi had said it in the name of Rav Nachman, but he personally disagrees with all of this, both the statement of Rav Yehuda Brei, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shelis, Mishmei the Rav, and the statement made that he himself said over the name of Rav Nachman. And he says, why? Michta, he says, who wrote the Mishnayis over here? This is Rebbe. When did Rebbe live? during our period of time. Masnisin man talking. Rebbe was the author. Yehuda Nasi was the redactor of the Mishnayos. Bobby made David already during the days of David HaMelech. In my age, Shani, we already see the decrease in the lifespan of a person. As I've already pointed out, this passage from Tilim Dilsiv, Yimei Shloseinu, Bohem Shivim Shana, that the lifetime of an average person is 70 years. Interestingly, when people say the various Yiratzoms that are brought down before and after you say Tilim, so this pasuk is there often in parentheses, and many don't say this pasuk as part of the Yiratzo because we want more than 70 years from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzvah Shem be Zoche to Arichas Yomim Vishanim in good health and happiness. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Bahai Shem Lo Zoche Libanos Heimena." Why do we say that this man has to give the ksuba to his wife because it was in his lack of zuchus that they didn't have children? Why don't we say the other way? As I pointed out before, the Dilma'i, the Lozachia, why don't we say that it's the woman's fault for not having children, and therefore she is not zochet to have children, and therefore she's not entitled to her ksuba because she should have to prove that it's not her fault that they didn't have children, and then she should be entitled to get her ksuba, and if you can't prove that, then she shouldn't be entitled to get her ksuba. Motzi b'chaver, all of a raya. So I already said this answer for the Gemara before. Ihi, the woman, keeping the lo mifkado peri verivya lo mi ansha. Since this woman, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, has no obligation, according to all opinions other than Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, has no obligation to fulfill a mitzvah peri verivya. She has a tremendous maternal desire. My Rebbeim used to tell me that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave women such a strong maternal instinct, because technically they have no mitzvah. They can say, hey, I need this like a hole in my head. I'm the one that's going to suffer for 9 months in pregnancy. In those days, there was a huge risk of actual pikuach nefashos for pregnancy. So women say nothing doing. So I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. I ain't going to participate in the mitzvah. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put her into a natural instinct, matzah, of wanting to have children so badly. So therefore, even though they're not Mitzuvah in Peri River. One of the reasons why women aren't Mitzuvah in Peri River is because it's putting them at danger. In those days, pregnancy was a very serious risk. Even nowadays, Baruch Hashem, when the risk is so, so much lower, nevertheless, there still is a risk in pregnancy. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to make women obligated in something that put them at risk, but he made it that they should want to do so on their own. In any event, since the woman is not obligated in Peri River, it can't be a punishment, so to say, to her not to have children. So therefore, the punishment for not having the zechus comes obviously from the man, and therefore the default position is that he has to go and pay her a ksuba. Again, punishment is a strong word. There are many people, nebuch, that haven't been able to have children, so we don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that. We use the lashon of punishment that the Gemara uses, but not chas v'shalom in a pejorative way that we point our fingers at somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, that wasn't able to have children, and say, ah, you're being punished. Rachmana Litzlan, we never would say that. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us technology today that when I was growing up, there were many people that never couldn't have children, and adoption was very common. And nowadays, Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, with so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in terms of able to handle infertility, to go and make previously infertile couples have children with all of the technology of PGD and in vitro fertilization, etc., etc. So Baruch Hashem, we have to give tremendous thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this problem is much, much, much less, very rare, relatively speaking, although it's difficult for some people to have children. It's very painful, can be very expensive, and can not always work. But nevertheless, Baruch Hashem, many of them are able to have children, Kein Yirbu in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara questions this 10-year idea again and says, Ine, is it really so that a person has to have a divorce from his first wife and go and marry his second wife? Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, the Chachamim told Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, who had been married for 10 years and hadn't had children, they said, Nesiv Itza Volibni, go and marry another woman and try to have children with another woman. And he responded back to the Chachamim. He says, no, I'm infertile. Is a chai. If I had been zochet to have children, I would have had it with my first wife. Havalumi kamaisa. I wouldn't have had to go and marry a second wife. So therefore, I don't have to go get married again to another woman because mistama, it's my fault. But our Gemara, our Mishnah, seem to say, no, you do have to get married a second time. So what did Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda say over here? He seems to be going against our Mishnah. So he says, no, he in fact was infertile. And that's why he was saying, I don't have to. If I'd been Zoch, I would have had for my first wife. He knew for a fact he was infertile. And he was just pushing off the Rabbanim by saying, oh, if I'd been Zoch, I would have had children with my first wife, and therefore I don't have an obligation to go marry to a second wife because it's my fault. In fact, he knew it was his fault. The Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda was one of the Talmidim of Rav Huna. And there were 60 great Talmidim who became infertile by staying in the shiur of Rav Huna and not going to the bathroom. He gave every long shiurim, and they held themselves in. Again, we don't understand how this works physiologically nowadays, but in some way, by not going to the bathroom properly, they held themselves from going to the bathroom during the very long shiurim of Rav Huna, and therefore, he was one of those talmidim, Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, i'aker, mipirkei Rav Huna. He became sterile, he became infertile, because he attended the shiurim of Rav Huna. Likewise, where it says Rav Gidl Yaakov Mipirkei Rav Huna, and it gives an additional list of other great Talmidei Chachamim that Nebuch became infertile by listening to the long shiurim of Rav Huna. Rabbi Chalbo Yaakov Mipirkei Rav Huna, him too. Rabbi Chalbo, Rav Sheshes, we had previously Yaakov Mipirkei Rav Huna, and there's many, many other Talmidei Chachamim. Now, this is not for our shiur right now, but obviously they were supposed to go to the shiur of Rav Huna, and why this occurred, and why they didn't do something to prevent this, and why they didn't go to the bathroom during the shiur. So these are all questions, not for our time in the Gemara right now, but these are all valid questions, but there are valid answers to all of these questions. Likewise, the Gemara gives us another Talmud of Rav Huna, who prevented himself from becoming an infertile person. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Achtesei Suskinta. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was one of the Talmidim who was in the long shiur of Rav Huna, so he had this illness known as Suskinta. Rashi says, Choli me'otzar hashes, and this is a sickness that comes because a person withholds himself from going to the bathroom, v'odem nekar imenu, and this leads a person to become sterile, infertile. So what did he do? He treated himself. Talyuha ba'arza devei Rav. He hung himself up from a cedar tree that was in the Beis Medrash of Rav, the Nafak Minei, and out of him came Kihutza Yarka. Rashi says, Yarok Kikaf Tomar. Some green discharge came out of him. That was somehow the cause of the other people becoming infertile from not going to the bathroom. So this green discharge that came out of him, that was like the color of Kaf HaTomar, like a branch of a palm tree. So that came out of him, and as a result, he didn't become infertile. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said about himself, Shisin Save Havina. There were 60 of us that were Tamidim by Rav Huna. The Kulu Yakur, Mipirkei de Rav Huna, all the other 59, besides myself, all became infertile from Rav Huna Shia, Levad, Var Meano, except for myself, because I did this Taluyu Ba'ariz of the Rav. I suspended myself from this tree. I hung myself from this tree, and that allowed this discharge to come out of me that was going to make me infertile, and the Kaimi ben Avshai, and I fulfilled in myself that pasuk from Koheles, which says, Hachochmo techaya ve'olea, that wisdom, looking ahead and taking care of things, will allow a person to live. So he knew this. I don't know why he didn't tell it to the other Talmidim or why they didn't do this, but nevertheless, again, this discussion over here as to what happened in the Shir of Rav Huna is not really for our Gemara here. It's a Gemara elsewhere, and when we answer Hashem, when we discuss this subject in that Gemara, we will, Amir Tzashem, delve into the story in greater detail. Now, quote the Mishnah, it says, Gersha, if in fact this woman gets divorced after not having children for 10 years with the first husband, she's muteris, b'chule, she's allowed to go and marry a second husband and stay with him also, even for 10 years, even if they don't have children. We don't assume, well, after 2-3 years, something like that, that it's her fault and not the husband's fault. So Moran says over here, you see that Shani in, says she's allowed to go and marry a second husband, but she's not allowed to go and marry a third husband who doesn't have children. She's of course allowed to marry a third husband if he's already kind of the midst of period of Rivia, but Shlishi lo, she's not allowed to go and get married. If she stayed for 10 years with the first husband, got divorced, and got a ksuba, stayed with the second husband for 10 years, got divorced, got a ksuba, then if she's going to marry a third husband, so she has the presumption already that it's her fault, and she can't go and marry a person who hasn't yet been Mekai in the midst of period of Rivia. So what do we see from here? That after 2 times, it's a chazaka. Not after 3 times. There's a famous machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which the Gemara is now going to discuss. Masnisin Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah obviously seems to hold that the chazaka is established after 2 times, not 3 times. So our Mishnah says, 2 times, that is Rebbe. Rebbe he, the Tanya. We see this in a Braisa. We have a case, Malah Rishon Umeis, Rahman al Islam, if a person had a child and he did a bris mila on the child, and the child died, and then Shani had a second boy and Mace, they did a bris mila and the child died, Shlishi lo somu. The Braisa says, do not do a bris milah on the third child. You obviously have some sort of a hemophilia here, some sort of a genetic problem that will be transmitted nebuch to the boys. And therefore, if the first and second child died, that establishes that this is not a fluke occurrence. This is a real problem. And the third child, after two times, the third child is not allowed to go and have a bris milah. Divri Rebbe, that's the opinion of the Rebbe. You see, clearly the Rebbe holds that this chazak is established after only two times. But along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, and he says, Omer, no, the third child also, Shlishi Tamul, go and do a bris milah on the third child. The first two don't establish anything. It's only after the first three children, Rachmanu Litzlan, have some sort of a problem in this situation. They died Nebuch during the bris milah. So then, only then, have you established the chazaka and revi lo somu. So Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says that you can't have a bris milah on the fourth child, but the third child, you can, because you didn't establish a chazaka after two times, you need three times. So Rebbe holds that you establish a chazaka after two times, and Rabbi Gamaliel holds you establish a chazaka after three times. Where it says, but we have a brisa that says the exact opposite. But Tanya Ivcha, we have a brisa that says that Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is the one that says the chazaka is established after two times, and Rebbe is the one that says it's after three times. So maybe the author of our Mishnah is not Rebbe, it's according to the brisa, it would be Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. So which one is it? So one says, Haimei Nayu Achri Naisa. Which one was taught last? So we have this first brisa, the Tanya, that Rebbe is the opinion of two times, and Rav Shimon Gamaliel is the opinion of three times. And we have the second brisa that says the opposite. So let's go and see. Whichever brisa was authored last, so that's the more authentic brisa as to their true opinions. So Toshma, we'll bring a raya from the following. There once was a Maisa Shahoya, but Arba Achoyos Bitzipori. There were four sisters that live in Tzipori, and each of them gave birth to a baby boy, Mazel Tov. Unfortunately, Shemala Rishona Umeis, the first of the sisters, had a son and did a bris milah, and Nebuch, the child, died. The second one, likewise, Shnia, had a son, Umeis. Here it's not talking about the same person who had one child, two child, three child. It's talking about four sisters. The first sister had a boy, and they did a bris milah and died. The second sister had a boy, they did a bris milah and died. And then it says, Shlishis, the third sister, they did a bris milah and the child died. And only by the revist did they come to Rav Shimon Gamaliel to ask a shaila. Boss of Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and they asked Rav Shimon Gamaliel, should we do a bris milah on this fourth child? And Amalah, he told the fourth sister, no, al tamuli, absolutely not. We have established the chazaka after the first three. So you clearly see from this toshma that Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion was Maisa Shahaya after three times you establish the Chazaka, not after two times. So that's the more authentic version. After three times is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and Rebbe is the opinion that you establish Chazaka after two times. Where says, who says? Maybe they happen to only come to Rav Shimon Gamaliel to ask him after the fourth child, but if they come after the third child, he would have said, don't do the bris milah also. The Dilma, nami maybe Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is, in fact, after two times he established Chazaka, they didn't come to him for the third sister, they only came to him for the fourth sister. So maybe that's what happened. Of course, it can't be, because otherwise, Imkain, if that's the situation, my asaduse, the Ruchia Baraba. So Ruchia Baraba said over the name of Yochanan, here's a Maisa Shahaya. Why would he be telling us this if he didn't know for a fact that they didn't come to me after the third time, they only came to me after the fourth time? No, it must be that he paskin that only after three times is a chazaka established. So this is the proof that that's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, three times, and the opinion of Rebbe is two times. But still is not satisfied. The Dilma, Hakamashvula, maybe what Ruchia Ba'aba, Omer of Yochanan is telling us is Da'achayos Mechaskos. It's not only in one family, one person, that he had a child, then he had another child, then he had another child. Maybe in that situation you say two versus three. But if you had four different sisters, maybe you don't say it because each one is separate. So Kamashvulan, this is the Chiddush of Ruchia Ba'aba, Omer of Yochanan. That in fact, you say this even by a family. The genetic trait is present in this family. It doesn't have to be in the same woman or the same man. It could be spread out over the four different sisters. So maybe that's his chiddush. And therefore, you can't tell me anything about the chazaka being three versus two, because they only came to him after the fourth one. And he's telling us, even with four different women, but they're sisters, this din applies. Now, we don't come to a conclusion over here, whether Rebbe is the opinion of two or whether Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion of two. We'll get to that in a moment. But the Gemara now just has an aside. I'm a Rava. Rava tells us, based upon this, Hashem, the Amr, Sachayos, Mechaskos, now that you're telling me that there is this genetic potential over here, that the women, though it's not the same woman, but they have the similar genetic makeup, they're sisters, so they carry similar DNA from their parents, the Gemara clearly understood genetic principles, so lo yisa adam isha, lo mi mishpachas nichbin, but lo mi mishpachas mitzoroim, that if you're considering a shidduch, so then you have to take into account potential serious family illnesses. This is a very important and unfortunately frequent shaila when a couple are dating. So we have, of course, Dar Yashar, unbelievable chiddush that they came with the approval of Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal, one of the tshuvas of the Igus Moshe. So this idea of trying to make sure that you have genetic compatibility is an important idea. And today we have additional things. Dor Yeshurim checks for many, many additional tests, not just Tay-Sachs. And there are other ways to go and see genetic compatibility between the potential Chosin and Kala. And these are extremely important parts of the Shidduch process that should absolutely be done early on to make sure that we don't run into a Rachmon Lislan very, very difficult shilas. So in any event, the Gemara is telling us a person, when he looks for a shidduch, so he has to be careful. He shouldn't look for a shidduch in this family that is genetically inclined to have nichbin. Nichbin is normally translated as falling down, some sort of an illness where you fall down, so it can be translated as epilepsy or as some other illness. So this was clearly something that they felt was a genetically transmitted illness, and therefore one should be careful about making such a shidduch. Likewise, lo mimishpachas b'tzaraim, and not with a certain type of a nega that was presumed again to be genetic in some way or could be familial, transmitted to another member of the family. So if you see other members of the family have this, you should be forewarned that this is a concern. He says, however, but Rava passes over here that it has to be a chazak of three. So he passes like the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamaliel that it is three. Okay. Mora now goes back and says, my Havi Allah, how do we pass it? What is the bottom line? Rebbe is two, Rav Shimon Gamaliel is three, which is the answer, or the other way around. So Mora says, he also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Yitzchak bar Yosef came and married Sol to Bavel, he said the following, Omar, Uv the Havi Kameh, the Rav Yochanan, that once was a Maisa Shahoya with Rav Yochanan, that occurred Bechnishta de Ma'on, in the Beis Knesses of the city of Ma'on. What happened? It was on B'yom HaKippurim Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. It was Yom Kippur that fell out on a Shabbos. So you have both Yom Kippur and Shabbos considerations. And there was a Bris Mila and Shul, Umala Rishonu V'Meis. Again, they had sisters coming to the shul to do the Baruch Shem Mazel Tov. All of them had children, and the Bris Mila of all of them, B'yom HaShmini, was on Shabbos Yom Kippur. So the first sister came, the older sister came first and did the Bris Mila, and Nebuch, Umala Rishonu V'Meis. The first sister, they did the Bris Mila on her child, and the baby died. Shnia Umeis, they did the Bris Mila on the second sister's child, and also Meis. They then brought the third sister, Shlishis, Baal Lefanov. They came to ask Rav Yochanan what they should do, and Amalah, he told to the third sister, it's not yet a chazaka based upon the first two sisters, Lechi Umuli. Go and circumcise the baby. Go and do a Bris Mila on the third baby. Shabbos Yom Kippur, which again was allowed, if in fact this was a Bila Bismana, which it was, and Rav Yochanan is reported to have said by Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, go and do the Bris Mila. So clearly, Rav Yochanan seems to paskin like the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamaliel that it is three times it establishes the Chazaka. Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, are you absolutely sure that what you're reporting is correct? Chazi, go and see, the Kosharis Isura Visakanta. Your statement over here, allowing the Bris Mila to occur, you're stating that Rav Yochanan allowed the Bris Mila to occur, is potentially, if you're incorrect, going to allow an Isser and Sakana to occur. The Isser normally would be prohibited to do a Bris Mila on Shabbos if it wasn't an obligatory Bris Mila. So if this woman was in fact not allowed to do a Bris Mila because we established the Chazaka after two times, so then you're doing a Mila, which is not permitted on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's a huge Isser that you're allowing. And Sakanta, likewise, you're potentially putting this child at great risk of life by doing the Bris Mila if it's not allowed to be done. So Abaye says to Rav Yitzchak Yosef, are you 100% sure of your story that Rav Yochanan paskin in this fashion? So he said, yes. So Somach Alei Abaye. Abaye trusted this opinion of Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, and he applied it to himself, not obviously for a Bris Mila, but he applied it to himself in the following scenario. He went and married a woman whose name was Choma. Now this woman had been previously married twice, and both of her previous husbands had died. And this woman, Choma, was in fact the Brata, the Isi. She was the daughter of Isi, Bereid Rav Yitzchak, Bereid Rav Yehuda. She was the daughter of Isi, who was the son of Rav Yitzchak, who was the son of Rav Yehuda. And she had previously been married, the Nosso Rachva. She married a great Talmud Chacham by the name of Rachva in Pumbedisa, the Pumbedisa, the Shachva. Then Rachva passed away. And then she went and married Rav Yitzchak Bereid, the Rabbah Bar Rav Chana. Bar Bar Chana. So she went and married another great Talmud Chacham, Vishacham, and this other great Talmud Chacham died. And if you are correct, Abaye says to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, so then we don't establish a chazaka after two times that she's an isha katlonis, that she's a woman who Nebuch is putting her husband's at risk, and therefore I would be allowed to marry her. So he accepted the word of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the Nosfahu, and Abaye also married this woman, Choma, and Nebuch, the Nosfahu Vishachav, and he also died. So Rava said about this, Omar Rava. Rava said this when he heard that they got married, not after the death. When he heard that Abaye married Choma, he said, "Umi ko da'ovid uvda b'nafshe kihai." Has anybody ever done such a thing like what Abaye just did by trusting Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef's opinion? He shouldn't have done so. Why? Because he himself was the one that said, when Ovin comes and tells us something from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Samcha, you can trust Ovin. We'll see in a moment why. He's reliable, he's authentic, or he's definitely telling us the facts as they are. But Yitzchak Sumcha, this is Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, he was known as Yitzchak Sumcha, he was a redhead, he was a gingy. So Lav Bar Samcha, you can't rely upon him. Why not? Because Ovin Yeshna B'chazara. Ovin would chazar over very carefully everything that Rabbi Yochanan said. That's one interpretation. Or others say that Ovin was always at the shir of Rabbi Yochanan. He went back the next morning to see if Rabbi Yochanan changed around what he said the day before. Whereas Yitzchak Sumcha, this Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, ain't no chazar either. He didn't chazar over as much, or he wasn't always at the shir. So he would miss a retraction from Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye himself said that you can't always rely upon Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef's statements and reports of Eretz Yisrael, what Rabbi Yochanan said. And furthermore, the Ode, Emar de Pligi, that which we said, that there's a machlokas, is two or three, the chazaka, that's only Linya Mila, that's only in regards to a bris mila. However, b'nisuin, mi pligi, but who says that they have the same machlokas in regards to nisuin? After all, bris mila is a mitzvah for a person to do this, so maybe there's a machlokas, the two or three times is a chiv to do a bris mila if there was a problem. But in regards to Nisuin, maybe we should just assume it's not necessarily a mitzvah to go and marry this woman. So therefore, let's be careful, extra careful, and follow the opinion of two times, not three times. So therefore, why did Abaye do this? That's what Rava said. But the Gemara says, yes, in. They're not only arguing on Bris Mila, they're arguing as well on Nisuin. This is an overriding machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether two times establishes a chazaka or three times establishes a chazaka. And where do we see that this machlokas applies not only by bris mila but applies by other things as well? But Tanya, we learn in the following brisa: Nitzes l'rishon v'meis, l'sheni v'meis. If a man got married to a woman and Nebuch he dies, then the woman marries another man and then he dies. So this woman is potentially an isha katlonis, a woman who husband's Nebuch pass away. You're not allowed to go marry this woman. So if this is a chazaka after two, the third person shouldn't be allowed to go and marry this woman. Nobody should be allowed to marry this woman. So Lashlishi Loti Nase Divri Rebbe. So Rebbe, this is the opinion of Rebbe, holds that twice makes the chazaka. And in fact, this woman is not permitted to get married again. She's an Isha Katlonis. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Lashlishi Tinase Lorvi Lo Sinase. No. The third one still could marry because two doesn't make a chazaka. Three times makes a chazaka. But after three times never could happen, she married three different men and all three of those men died. So then the fourth person, the fourth husband potentially, lo tinase. She's not allowed to go marry that husband. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo gabe mila. We understand why there's a machlokas regarding bris mila, because iko mishpacha de rafi dama, viko mishpacha de komit dama. We understand that there are going to be genetic tendencies in certain families, that they're not going to be able to clot, there are going to be coagulation problems, and Nebuch, the babies would die from a bris mila. This is hemophilia. The Gemara understood that genetic illnesses could be transmitted, and therefore if one child has it, another child has it, to reach a certain supposition at this point in time that is a genetic illness, and therefore either after two or after three times, the machlokas Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, you don't have any allowance halachically to do a bris mila, because we don't want to do a bris mila while it's a mitzvah, if it's bikuach nefashos. So some have blood that's thin, some have blood that's thick. That's what the expressions that are used today, that you want to thin the blood with these anticoagulants. So that's an expression that we even use in modern language today, rafi dama, komit dama, and therefore we understand why there's a machlokas. But how could this possibly affect by nisuin, ela nisuin, my taima? How does marriage somehow put the man at risk? So there's two possibilities. Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi,
Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, and Hochi Omar Avimi Me'agronya Mishmei Rav Huna, and he said this was what Rav Avimi from the city of Hagronya said in the name of Rav Huna. There's two possibilities over here. One is Mayan Gorim, for Rav Ashi Omar Mazel Gorim. So one of these two possibilities, either Mayan Gorim, which means that her spring, her well, causes them to die. In other words, via Bia, somehow a disease is transmitted by having relations with her that puts the husband at risk. And Rav Ashi disagrees. He says, no, just the fact that they're married, her Mazel is somehow impacting him. Exactly how that would work, what that means, is unclear to us. Mazel Gorim. So in this situation, the potential would be either through direct relations or because of just the marriage itself. Nu, halach l'maisa, what's the ramifications? Maybe nayu. What's the difference whether you say like Avimi, Mayan Gorim, or like Ravashi, Mazel Gorim? So the Gemara says, ikabe nayu, de erso umis. If they only had erisin, and the husband died from erisin. If they only had erisin, so obviously it can't be through relations. And Arus is forbidden to have relations with the husband, and we assume that they didn't have relations with the husband in this situation. And therefore, as a result, that can't be a factor. But if we say it's the mazel, then so the mazel from just being in an arusa state, so her mazel could impact him and cause the death. So that's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, inami, alternatively, the notha midiklo mace. The guy fell off a tree. He went up to climb up a tree to get some fruit, and he falls off the tree and he dies. So in this situation, obviously, this has nothing to do with relations. The relations didn't impact him in this way, but the mazel did. So therefore, this would be another nafkamina, whether you say mayan gorim or mazel gorim. The Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Yosef, Rei Rav LeRava, Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, said to Rava, I once asked Rav Yosef, boy, me name is Rav Yosef, halacha ki Rebbe. I once asked Rav Yosef, is the halacha like Rebbe? Amalei in. He said, yeah, we pass like Rebbe, two times makes a chazaka. But then I asked him another time, halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamaliel. I asked him another time, is the halacha like Rav Shimon Gamaliel? Amalei in. And he also told me yes. So I thought he's making fun of me. Achuche achich bi. So he asked his father, he asked Rava, what was Rav Yosef doing to me, telling me the answer is some, we pasken like Rebbe, and we pasken like Rav Shimon Gamaliel. So Amalei, so his father told him, lo, he wasn't making fun of you. Stomehi upashit lo. There are certain Mishnayos we pasken like Rebbe, and certain Mishnayos we pasken like Rav Shimon Gamaliel. So it depends. And this is what he was saying. Nisuin umalkios, in regards to the halacha with wives, and regards to malkis, which we'll explain in a moment, we pasken like Rebbe, that two times makes a chazaka. However, vestos, in regards to a woman's period, both starting it and stopping it, as we'll see in a moment, Vishar, in regards to Vishar Muad, Rav Shimon Gamaliel, there we paskin three times makes a chazak Rav Shimon Gamaliel. What is this? So the Gemara says, Nisuin Hadamar, that which we already said about Nisuin, that if a woman is married twice, and stay with the first husband 10 years and didn't have children, stay with the husband, second husband 10 years and didn't have children, so then the third time she's not allowed to marry a man who has not been Makayim the mitzvah of period of Arivia, because unfortunately it looks like she will not be able to have children. So we already said that. That's where we pass him two times makes the chazaka. What's Malkius? What's that case? So this is a Mishnah that we have in Sanhedrin. If not, Misha Laka Vishana, if a man committed an Aveira, for example, he transgressed a mitzvah, which would be a Kares prohibition, and you can sometimes give Malkis and prevent the Karis from taking effect, and he did this once, and then he did it again. So you see that this person is unfortunately, an unrepentant sinner. So Misha Laka Vishana, twice he got Malkis for doing a Karis prohibition. So in this situation, based in Konsen Sola Kippa, we see that he's incorrigible, and Basin is allowed to put him into a Kippa. Kippa is basically a prison of some sort, which is a closed room with no windows and no inlet or outlet, and machilin osasarim, you give him barley which will cause his stomach to swell up, achite kreso nivkas, until the stomach will essentially burst and the person will die. In other words, if he's an unrepentant sinner, Basin has the power to do this. They act somewhat lifnei mishur sadin, because this person is unfortunately flagrantly violating isurim that are a serious isser, and Basin has this extrajudicial power to go and do this. So we established that this person is going to be receiving such a punishment for Basin after two times, not three times. So by Nisuin and Malkius, we see we pass like Rebbe. However, Rava told his son, Rav Yosef, that in regards to Vestos, we pass him like Rav Shimon Gamaliel, that requires three times to either institute or to change a vest. A woman's period is being established. If not, this is a Mishnah Nida, where it says, Eina Isha, we turn to Samach Hei Amid Aleph, Kovas lo vest, a woman doesn't establish herself as having a set period in time, which has numerous ramifications in terms of tumah tara and other situations, being with her husband, ad shetikvena shalosh pamim, until she has three times in a row this exact period duration. The ein mataharis min vest, and likewise, she doesn't remove her status as having a vest, ad sheteakim imena shalosh pamim, until it's removed three times. So to establish or to remove a vest, a set period of time for a woman, she needs to break this chazaka three times, or to establish it with three times happening and not two. So here we pass like Shem Gamaliel. What's the din by shor hamuat? A shor that's a shor shenogeach, a shor that goes and damages somebody. So then in this situation, the shor is considered a shor that is a muad, to have the halachic status of no longer being a tam, but being a muad after three times. It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah, in Bava Kama, where it tells us, Ein ashor nase muad, ad she'yaidu bo shlosha pamim, that a shor is not considered a shor muad, that it's going to have the damages that associated with shor muad, as opposed to the damages associated with shor tam, and all the dinim of a muad, rather than a tam, until it is minageyach, until it goes and gores three times. So here we again, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So this is what Rava told his son. Sometimes Rav Yossi told you we paskin like Rebbe. That's 100% correct. Nisu and Amalkius. And when he told you that we sometimes paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he was also 100% correct, because in regards to Vestos and Shor Muad, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. This is a good break point. Wish everybody a wonderful Yom HaAtzmaut. And B'ezus Hashem, we'll continue and pick up over here tomorrow. Have a great day.